we present Red for Danger, a new serial thriller in 6 episodes by Edward J. Mason. Episode 3, Seeing Red.
It's a disturbing, blood-quickening sort of feeling when you've had a hunch and you followed it up and found out that your hunch was right.
Hey, now, just a minute. It was my hunch that Red Farley was in Johnny Johnson's pub disguised as a man.
Well, that's true, but in any case, I was going back to see Johnny Johnson, you know that.
Yes, but fair's fair. I spotted Red in spite of her disguise when we were in the pub with her husband and Lush Baker.
Yes, I grant you that. But you didn't know who was going to be waiting for us back at the pub, did you?
Neither did you.
All right, let's recap for a minute. Paul Farley was a research chemist working as assistant to Victor Klutz. Klutz being the chief metallurgist at the Astron Iron and Steelworks. He was practically at the climax of his research into the production of a new super metal, which he called Kratz alloy, and which he said would probably revolutionize aircraft and tank production.
It was also a top secret metal, for which a good many other countries would give their ITs if they had half a chance.
So, when Red Farley, Paul's attractive red-haired wife, vanished, after first cutting off her beautiful hair and exchanging it for a gold charm bracelet, which was in a box in my flat, our old friend Inspector James of the CID was called in to look into the matter, just in case there should be any tie-up between the secret metal and Red's disappearance.
Mind you, Paul Farley said that Red had been behaving very strangely just lately. He tried to give the inspector the idea that Red was crazy and that she'd most probably committed suicide.
A theory which I discounted, because only the night before she disappeared, she told me that Paul was deliberately spreading these rumors in order to get rid of her. Anyhow, we were discussing it at my flat when Paul and his secretary, Lush Baker, arrived to find out what we'd been saying to Victor Klutz. They seemed to think we'd been discrediting them with the old man. At this point, we had the phone message from Johnny Johnson asking us to visit his pub and collect one of the charms from the gold bracelet, a small gold elephant with 2 ruby eyes.
So Paul and Lush Baker came with us. We couldn't very well stop them. After all, Paul was Red's husband. But as soon as this Johnny Johnson saw Paul with us, he denied all knowledge of making any phone call or of finding any gold elephant.
Both Pat and I thought he was lying. So, having got rid of the other two, we went back to the pub.
Time, ladies and gents. If you please, now. I'm sorry, I can't serve you. Said it.
Oh, it's you two again.
The name's Conway, remember? And this is Miss Manners.
Well, of course I remember. I've been expecting you.
You have?
Come on through into the living quarters.
Good.
Carry on clearing them out, George. It's past time.
This way, Mr. Conway.
Now then, where were we?
It was you who phoned, wasn't it?
Correct.
And you've got the little gold elephant?
Correct.
And you know where Red Farley is?
Correct again, David.
What makes you so sure, miss?
Because a quarter of an hour ago in your bar parlor, there was a man sitting playing dominoes. He refused to drink because he'd got a hangover. He was holding his head, so I couldn't see his face. But as I went out, I saw his eyes.
Oh, you did?
Yes. They were bright green.
What?
It wasn't a man at all. It was Red Farley disguised as a man, correct, Mr. Johnson?
Correct, Miss Manners.
Well, where is she now, then?
Try the room down there, first on the left.
Ah, so you were right, Pat. Well done. Oh, now then, Red, why don't you... But I don't understand... Is it a joke?
What is the matter, Mr. Conway? You looking for somebody, maybe?
What's wrong, David? Isn't Red there?
No, only Victor Klutz. I don't get this at all, sir. What's going on?
I'll leave you to it, Mr. Klutz, sir. I'll be clearing the pub if you want me.
Thank you. Please shut the door, Mr. Conway, and sit down.
But Mr. Johnson said we should find Red here. Do you know where she is?
You see this envelope? There is an address on it. And inside the envelope, for you, I think, Mr. Conway.
The little gold elephant. Thank you. Here, I've had the first installment toward your birthday bracelet.
But I still don't understand.
I'm sure Mr. Klutz has an explanation for us. I must say, sir, you were the very last person I expected to bump into here.
I came here as you did, from the result of a telephone call. This Johnny Johnson phoned and told me if I came here, a certain young woman would have some vitally important information.
Our friend Johnny Johnson had a sense of the melodramatic, it seems.
Like yourself, probably, I thought at first it might be a joke. However, I newly arrived here a few seconds after you had left.
Did you see Red?
Unfortunately, no. According to Mr. Johnson, the arrival of her husband and Miss Baker so alarmed her that she left at once.
Leaving an address where we might find her.
And so it would appear.
Oh, dear. Mr. Kratz, what do you think about it all?
I wonder whether maybe our friend Paul is right. Maybe the poor lady is, you know, not quite...
Excuse me, but I wondered if you might be wanting a drink before I shut the bar.
For me, no, thank you.
Nor us, thanks. Okay. We'd better get along to this address. Do you know where this house is, Mr. Johnson?
I should. It happens to be my property.
Maybe you can tell us more than anyone about Red Farley's activities.
Maybe.
Then, Mr. Johnson, for her sake and for the sake of a great many more people, perhaps you'll be good enough to explain what lies behind this rather unpredictable behavior of our friend.
I'd rather she did that for herself.
Do you know what's behind it all?
She's hinted at one or two things.
She worked for you during the war, I understand.
That's right.
So that you probably know her better than most people.
I did in those days.
What, do you mean she's changed?
Put it this way. I can't understand the Red I used to know ever cutting off all that lovely hair and disguising herself as a man.
When you say she's changed, do you mean she's, well, a little unstable?
I wouldn't like to say. She never used to be anything but sane and sensible.
But now you have your doubts.
No, I think she's all right. Speaking personally, I think there's nothing more than a bit of commoner garden jealousy behind all this.
It does make things very difficult. One hardly knows what action to take next.
Well, I think the best thing we can do is try and see her.
Yes, I agree.
That address she's given you is a bit of property of mine. The house is empty at the moment. Just about to sell it. She wanted somewhere quiet.
You don't mean to say that Red's living in an empty house?
No. She'll tell you all about it when she sees you. Joe's looking after her, the chap who was in the bar with her.
You coming, Mr. Kratz?
I feel I must.
But look, if anything should turn up so that they try to stick her into some sort of nursing home or institution, well, don't let them do it. Me and the missus will take care of her. She knows us. She'd feel at home here.
Well, that's very good of you, Mr. Johnson.
Somehow I don't think it'll be necessary, because I'm still convinced that Red is in possession of all her senses and is acting intelligently. I'm convinced.
That's the spirit, sir. With a few pals like us around her, she'll be all right. Don't you fret. Now then, let me tell you how to get to this place. It hasn't been empty more than a few days. I'll let you have the key. When you go out of the pub car park, you turn sharp right.
Number 73, this is it. You think it's all right to leave the car here?
No, better park it down the street, round the next corner maybe. Don't want to be too conspicuous in case...
In case what, Mr. Conway?
I don't honestly know, sir, but this whole affair is getting curiouser and curiouser all the time. You see, what I don't like about this business is, as I was telling Pat, the fact that somehow Paul Farley knew all about the gold charm bracelet and knew at once just what the little gold elephant was. Yet we didn't tell him, and the inspector didn't tell him.
Hey, just a second. Look, Mr. Kratz, when we lunched with you, we told you what the charms were on the bracelet because you were interested.
That's a thought, sir. Did you happen to mention the bracelet to Paul when you were talking to him?
No, Mr. Conway. Matter of fact, I spoke very little to Paul Farley following our meeting at lunchtime.
Yes, Paul and his secretary noticed that fact. They blamed us for it.
Ah, well, this'll do, I think. Now, let's see what the lady in question has got to say for herself.
Try the light switches, David.
Can't see them. Hang on a sec. Ah, here we are. No. Either turned off the main switch or there are no bulbs.
Red? Are you there, Red?
You don't suppose maybe she is here, but cannot answer.
That's a cheerful thought. Better try all the rooms in case, though. Nothing in here.
There's a room at the back, and what looks like a kitchen, David.
Can't think why the Dickens Red is so anxious to keep herself hidden.
Oh! What an odd thing.
Like an empty house, yet still connected by phone.
Probably a wrong number. Or someone who didn't know the people had moved out. Soon to see, anyway. Hello?
Is that you, David?
Red? The Red Folly?
Yes. You mean is that your name, Red?
My goodness.
Yes, sorry, Red. Just getting my breath back. A bit of a shock. Now, what on earth is all this about?
Mr. Francis,
yes, he's here. Do you want to speak to him? But just a minute. Where are you, and why haven't you met us here as arranged?
I'm speaking from a call box. I didn't stay at the house because you've been followed, David.
Followed?
There are two men outside the house waiting at this very minute. Paul, they're my husband, and you go north.
But what's going on?
Oh, I know everybody thinks I'm raving mad, David, but you must trust me and help me as much as you can.
What do you want us to do? Yes, what about it?
The last performance finishes about 10:45. Can you come along there, David? Mingle with the crowds, and I'll pick you up somewhere near the main entrance.
Yes, but why all this secrecy? Cutting off your hair, hiding like a criminal. It's such a mistake, Red. People think...
Yes? People think what?
No, nothing.
People think it proves I'm crazy, you mean?
Well, you said it, not me. But, Red, the police will...
The police are firmly convinced that I'm crazy, thanks to Paul. Whatever happens, make sure Paul or the police don't follow me.
Well, you're surely not scared to that extent.
I don't want to die yet, thanks. But one further word to Prince. Tell him that someone else has already been notified in detail of all his research work up to Formula AX3. Just tell him that. It'll be enough. See you later at the circus.
But Red...
Oh, she hasn't run off.
She has, you know.
What did she say? What explanation?
Couldn't you hear?
No, it was distorted to me.
You hear what she said, Beth?
Some of it. No, David, I'm not sure whether Red...
Quiet a minute.
Somebody coming.
But nobody knows we are here except the men Johnson.
Red said we were being followed and watched.
With this type of lock, they won't be able to force their way in without a key.
Well, whoever it is, they're not stopping. Probably the police. But she did say we were followed. That's why she didn't stay to see us. She's frightened to death of meeting Paul.
But what exactly did she say? Why did she want to see me?
Let's get out of this place first, sir. Then I'll explain.
There are French windows in this room at the back, David. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could get out that way if they're watching the front.
Why not walk boldly out of the front door? Are we thieves and criminals and we should use back doors?
No, sir. From what Red told me on the phone, I think it might be wiser.
Yes, we can get through these French windows, David.
The point is, where are we when we're through the French windows? Still may have to come round to the front of the house. Worth trying, though. The key's there?
Yes.
For myself, I would prefer to hand the matter over to the police and leave things with them. I do not like this.
Oh, I have a message for you, sir, from Red. Might alter the complexion of things as far as you're concerned.
A message? In what connection?
In connection with Kratz Alloy.
What does he say?
Tell you all about him when we're back in the car. After you, sir.
Like thieves in the night.
Quiet a second.
What's wrong?
Thought I heard something.
So you did, my dear.
What is happening? I do not understand.
Looks as though Paul Farley and his friend, Mr. Norton, were waiting for us.
Get back into that room.
Who do you think you're talking to?
I'm talking to you.
Paul, please, would you mind to explain?
With pleasure, Mr. Kratz. Paul's quarrel is not with you.
Oh, no, of course it isn't, sir. But these people have gone a bit too far this time. They're staying here until the police arrive.
I shall please myself what I do.
I'm ready, David, if you are.
You go look after the girl.
Gentlemen, please.
Oh, it's no use trying to argue with these two, sir. Inspector James is on his way down to this district. I'm determined to keep them here until he arrives.
For what reason?
Several reasons. But principally because I want to know where my wife is. Conway knows he's in touch with her, but he refuses to help me and the police to trace her.
Not without very good reason.
We'll see about that. Now then, are you going to wait here quietly until James comes, or do we have to get rough?
I'm afraid I can't stay. I have an appointment.
Look, Conway, you've been leading me a hell of a dance ever since Red disappeared. Just what your object is, I wouldn't know, but I've had enough. Hugo, phone through to that pub. There's a phone in the other room, and leave a message that we're all here.
Oh, come along, Pat, and you, Mr. Kratz. We've no time to waste here.
Do you not think it would be better to wait for the police and place everything in their hands?
Much better, sir. That's exactly what we propose to do.
I didn't want to be melodramatic, Conway.
Paul, have you gone mad? Put away the gun. There might be a dreadful accident.
Well, Conway and his lady friend are staying right here until the police arrive. Sorry, sir, but if they won't cooperate one way, they must be made to do as they're told another.
It's one thing to produce a gun, quite another to use it.
Mr. Conway, please,
Don't provoke, Paul.
I'm not provoking him, sir. I just haven't time to hang around. Are you coming with us or are you staying here?
I think we should see the police.
See you later, then. Come on, Pat. Don't worry, he won't shoot. It'll be cold-blooded murder. I don't think even Paul's got around to that yet.
I warn you, Conway.
Oh, stop playing cops and robbers. You're a grown man now.
Hugo, stop him. Don't let him walk past you.
Now, look, Conway, and you, Miss Manders...
Let go my arm. Do you mind?
You're completely in the wrong. I refuse to let you go and...
Oh, golly, David, that's done
it. Mr. Conway, have you gone mad?
I call it a witness that the Conway resorted to violence.
David, be careful.
Let go. Let go. Oh, my wrist.
I didn't want to start all this. Your idea. Here, Mr. Kratz, you better keep this gun. Be safer with you and with Paul. And when he's finished nursing his wrist, ask him how he knew there was a phone in the front room of his empty house, and how he knew it was still in working order. I'll be intrigued to know the answer. See you later. Come on, Pat. Let's go.
Well, really, David, you've put us right out of court now, you know.
Afraid I got slightly annoyed. Didn't want to miss Red.
She's got me a bit worried as well. Why a circus?
That's why I want to see her. I feel unless we get in touch and find out the full story pretty quickly, something's going to happen to Red. She won't talk to the police because they won't believe her. She's scared stiff that Paul and Hugo will catch up with her before she's done whatever it is she's trying to do.
Yes, and what about this AX3 formula business? Why didn't you tell Katz about that?
Oh, I wasn't going to say too much in front of those two. I'd have told him if he'd been alone.
You know, Inspector James is going to be livid about all this.
Can't be helped.
Red seems convinced that Paul's behind some plot to get hold of this super metal formula thing.
Seems like it.
It's a bit far-fetched, isn't it?
No, I don't agree. So far as Inspector James was concerned, the one thing that brought him into the affair was the possibility of Red's disappearance being connected with this new metal. Logically, he can't just poo-poo the whole idea now, just because Red herself is saying it.
No, no, that's fair. But somehow I can't tie Paul in with being the leader of some foreign espionage outfit, can you?
Even be the leader. Could be involved, though. In fact, Red as good as said he was involved.
Well, I certainly can't see Hugo Norston or Lush Baker as top agents of some foreign power.
Well, you can't always go by appearances. Another thing, Red's had experience with this sort of thing during the war. She'd not be the sort to get the wind up.
Well, there's not much doubt that she has got the wind up. Here we are. Calante's International Circus. Last few days prior to continental engagements. Book now.
Must be getting pretty well towards the end of the show. Now, look, we'll leave the car here, just in case we want to get off in a hurry.
The big top. Sort of glamour about a circus, I always feel.
Lots of smells, too, as a rule.
Oh, trouble with you is you've no imagination.
You don't need one for the smells.
But, David, once again, what on earth is Red doing meeting us in a circus?
Safety in crowds, maybe? What do we do now, I wonder? Go in?
Well, it's not worth paying to go in. Show's practically finished. There's nobody in the box office. Look, shut.
Well, in that case, let's just drift in and see what happens. She said she'd look out for us somewhere near the entrance.
Talk about looking for a needle in a haystack. Well patronized tonight, isn't it?
Huh? Oh, yes, yes, well patronized.
Evening. Can I help?
I know that voice.
In what way do you think you might help?
Oh, I never know. Thought maybe you were looking for somebody.
Could be.
Somebody with red hair, say?
Again, could be.
David, this is the man who was with Red in the pub.
Ah, yes. Joe was the name, wasn't it?
Joe it is. Christened Joseph after me dead.
Where is she?
Waiting for you.
She said she'd be here.
Too risky. Might have one or two folks coming along as she wasn't expecting, like, see? Same as at the pub.
No, not this time.
You see that small tent over there?
Yes.
Well, that's one of the daytime sideshows, and it's not in use at the moment. She's in there.
I see. Thanks. You have a pint for your trouble.
Ah, spoken like a gent, sir. And if anybody else should come snooping around, I ain't seen you. Nor Red, for that matter.
Tell me, Joe, can you see any reason for all this tremendous secrecy?
Me? I wouldn't know. I just do what I'm told and ask no questions.
You connected with the circus in any way?
I don't think I made myself clear, sir. I don't never ask questions, and I don't never answer none, neither. Not unless I has to.
Okay, fair enough. Come on, David.
I only hope there's nobody waiting with a knife.
If there is, you'd probably have more idea of how to use it than Paul had with his revolver.
Yes, I thought you were a bit rash the way you stepped across to him. Frightened me to death.
He hadn't put off the safety catch.
Oh.
Don't think even you the gun had a safety catch. Obviously not trained in the school's the best type of tomb thriller. Let's go in, shall we?
Now, careful, Beck.
Anybody home?
There is someone here, David. Look, far corner.
Who's there?
David and Pat. Last.
Well, Red, you've given us one or two heart attacks in the past 24 hours. Now, what's going on?
Oh, Red, just look at you. All that beautiful hair gone.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It'll grow again. Providing I've still got a head for it to grow on by the time we're through with this lot. Where's Paul?
Waiting back at the house for the police.
You're sure? No chance of him showing up here.
Well, he doesn't know we've come here. Incidentally, Red, why have we? Why a circus of all places?
Because I'm hiding out here in one of the caravans. Friend of Johnny Johnson's.
Not Joe, the character we just met at the entrance.
Oh, no. One of the circus artists, Bella DeMarti.
How on earth did you get to know her?
I went to Johnny for help. Asked him to hide me. He thought I'd be safer with Bella. Didn't think people would look in a circus for me.
What happens when the circus moves on to its grand continental tour?
Well, this business will be over by then. It's planned to finish immediately following Victor Kret's final experiments. They're due to take place any minute now. You know, the new wonder metal, Kret's alloy.
Now, suppose you start at the beginning, Red. Remember, Paul's giving people the impression that you're off your rocker.
David,
I'm deliberately being frank, Pat. Because cutting off your hair and dressing as a man and then hiding in a circus caravan with Signora Bella D'Amati, well, it looks a bit out of the ordinary, Red.
But of course it is. Now, listen, David. That new metal of Kret's is a great advance in metallurgy.
So I gather.
It is. I've taken the trouble to find out. You've heard of titanium?
It's a sort of super element, isn't it?
It's a big advance on any of the other known metal type elements, and it's used a lot in the processing of modern metals. Well, this new Kret's alloy is a big advance on titanium. That means that it's of terrific importance.
So important that other countries may be interested?
I don't know who's interested, but somebody is. And Paul and Hugo Norston are working with this somebody against Kret's.
Have you any proof?
You don't believe me?
Well, I mean, Paul's been working with Kret, hasn't he, Red, for a long time?
Not long, really. Let me explain. What little I know about the new metal, I know because I've listened to Paul talking about it, with Kret, with Hugo, and with Lush Baker. I've no technical knowledge myself, but I gather it has quite phenomenal possibilities.
Kret's even told us that.
Well, a few days ago, I was going to the pictures. Paul had a conference at the house that evening, and I was going out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
At the last minute, I had a cracking headache and went to bed instead. Paul didn't know. About 8 o'clock, I felt a little better and came downstairs. Paul and Hugo were talking.
You mean you eavesdropped at the door?
Yes.
Why? What made you suddenly take an interest?
I heard Paul say, Kret must be whisked away immediately the metal has been secretly tested and before any results or details can get out. Then Hugo Norston said, that's already been arranged. Paul then said, they realize that my knowledge can only carry them as far as formula AX3. Norston said, they already have all that information. It's been passed on.
Good.
And they await the next stage, the final stage.
Is it true, Red?
It sounds incredible.
I swear it, David. Then Paul said, the final test will almost certainly be overnight, and the metal itself tested in the early hours of the morning. We must find out the precise formula details of the additive which Kret's will put into the alloy when the process reaches the carbon arc furnace stage.
What the deuce does that mean?
I don't know, but that additive, whatever it is, plus the information about the temperature at which it's added, is the crux of the whole thing. Oh, I know it sounds crazy, me standing here in a circus tent talking about metal technology, but I wouldn't make all this up, would I?
I couldn't.
All right, then what?
Then the doorbell rang and I had to dash back upstairs.
Red, when did Paul find out that you'd stayed in that evening?
Not till 2 days later. You see, they all went out later on. It was quite natural for me to be in bed and asleep when Paul returned.
Yes, of course.
Then he asked me about the picture, and I said I'd not been, I'd stayed in. He really began to frighten me from that stage onwards. He suspected something. I don't know why, but he did.
So you ran away?
I thought I could find out more by lying low than by staying at home with Paul. He knew something had gone wrong.
And that's why he's so anxious to find you and put you away in a mental home.
If he finds me, Pat, I shall be put away, but not in a mental home. I shall be found dead in circumstances that look like suicide.
Oh, but
he won't take any chances now. Or rather, if he would, the people who work with him won't. Not with what's at stake.
So you contacted John Johnson. Was that wise?
I tried to contact you first.
But you were dead asleep after the party. And before I could wake you, I heard Paul's car door up outside. I'd already cut off my hair, so I did the switch with the bracelet. Sorry about that, Pat. Oh, by the way, here's the rest of it.
Oh, thanks.
I thought you might guess what had happened, Davy.
But where do we go from here, Red?
You must tell Kratz. Tell him all I've told you. That's Joe. And that signal means somebody's on their way here. So I'll phone you at your flat, David.
But Red, don't go.
I must. You can contact me through Johnny Johnson or Bella D'Amati any time, but I'm staying in hiding until Paul and his friends are safely put away. I'm taking no chances.
The police will protect you.
Sure, in a padded cell. But don't forget to tell Kratz. Whatever you do, tell him. I'll go out the back way.
But what do you make of it all, David?
First, if I know, Pat. But Red wouldn't go to these lengths just because she was jealous of Lush Baker.
Somebody coming.
Is he gone?
Yes.
The others have just arrived. They spotted your car and all.
No, now what?
Oh, brazen it out. Only thing to do.
They're coming this way. I'm drifting, so cheerio.
Thanks, Joe. Come on, Pat. To hell with them all. We've committed no crime, remember? Not yet.
Look, Inspector. I reckon him. Conway and the girl.
They've spotted us, David.
Let's go and meet them.
Hello, everybody. Jolly good circus, what we saw of it.
Now, what are you two doing here? Haven't I made myself clear? If you don't stop interfering, you'll find yourselves liable to arrest.
Arrest? What for?
Obstructing the peace in the course of their duty, assault against Mr. Norston here, and any more offences I can think up that'll keep you out of harm's way for a time.
Ask them where Red is, Inspector.
Do you know, David?
No.
Liar. Is that the truth?
Of course.
Have you seen her tonight?
You see, Inspector, they have.
Yes, we have.
But she's gone now.
Yes.
Very well, I'll go into all this later. At the moment, I'm on another errand. Have you ever heard of a woman named Bella D'Amati?
Yes, she's one of the circus artists.
Well, apparently Red has been staying with her, and she phoned me just over half an hour ago.
Oh, look, Inspector, is this important?
I think so. Mr. Marty told me that she had a lot of very important and very urgent information to give me regarding your wife. She said unless I came right away, anything might happen.
Anything might happen to whom? Red?
She didn't say. Do you happen to know where her caravan is?
No, we don't.
Well, perhaps that chap does. I say, excuse me.
Want me, sir?
Yes. Have you any idea which is Miss DeMarty's caravan?
Bella D'Amati? Oh, yes, the one down there, second from the end. That's her, sir.
Thank you.
But surely it is of more importance...
If you don't mind, I'll assess the importance of the various aspects of this case, Mr. Norston.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
Yes, this is the one he said, isn't it?
That's the one, sir.
Mr. Marty? Mr. Marty?
What's wrong, Inspector?
Well, there's something on the floor stopping the door from opening. Here, take my torch, thanks.
That better?
Can you see anything?
Yes. A woman's hand.
That ends the third installment of Red for Danger, a serial thriller in 6 episodes, written for the BBC by Edward J. Mason and produced by Philip Garston Jones.